Good morning. Welcome to chapel this morning. A special welcome if you're new or a visitor. It's lovely to see us looking so full this morning. Needs no introduction. Hoppy's with us. It's good to have Dave with us this morning. We look forward to what he has prepared. So thank you for that. And we continue our journey through Ephesians. So we're in Paul's writings, Ephesians 6. We're covering verses 10 to 17. And our title that we've been given is Standing with Purpose. So we see what that produces. I drew this guy for Messy Church so a number of years ago, so there isn't any excuse to get him out, which is quite good. To apologise for my voice, I don't normally sound like Barry White. I am perfectly healthy, I feel fine, I've tested twice, long story, this morning, and I feel fine. We've been up at Atlantic Racket all week, I've been talking really loud in the sports hall, so I'm guessing that's what it is. So apologies for that. I hope it lasts. The notices are out. If you haven't had an electronic copy, I've got a few physical copies, but by all means take away. The prayer diary, which is really important, is on there too. So we thank Jeff for that. Jeff is back this week, which will be nice. Jeff and Heather. And yet again, Jeff has put that it's communion today. It's not still. We had communion 3 weeks ago. I think he's just firing a salvo for communion. One day he's going to be right. So we did choke. We said, if you say today I might die, one day you're going to be right. Excuse me. In other notices, Dick is better. Dick, we had an electronic Dick Chammings last week. He's fully better and he sends his love and he's glad he spoke well, he said. And Jim and Faye are doing well. Jim is, as you might know, been moved and he's comfortable where he is. So without further ado, shall we commit our time together to the Lord in prayer? Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we praise and thank you for the wonderful gift of your word and for the freedom to look and study together. And I just say sorry now for our transgressions, but through the cross, we thank you for your complete forgiveness. And we ask that our offering this morning and those electronically given this week might be used for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom here in this place. And thank you for answered prayer that dear Jim is settled and in good care, close to their home. And thank you for Jim's continued witness. Please continue to be with all the doctors and the family as they face decisions and care for Jim. Bless our time together, we pray. As we praise you and study your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, shall we stand and sing if we're able? 367, Jesus is Lord. Okay, thank you. Thank you. just to preserve my voice a little bit, Hoppy's going to come and give us our reading. Thanks, Dave.
Morning, everybody. It's great to be back. So we're reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 6. I think these are the pew Bibles, aren't they, or the seat Bibles. If you've got one of these and you want to follow, it's on page 828 in the blue Bibles. And we're reading from Ephesians 6, from verse 10 through to verse 17. It might be a passage that you know a little bit. It's called the Armour of God. And we're going to be thinking a bit about this a bit later on. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Amen.
Thanks, Hobbs. Let's sing again. Let's maybe sit and sing. Let's go twice through. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. We're going to meditate on these words. Thank you. Before our little lead-in, and before we even start to think about mentioning armour and spiritual battles, I'm going to ruin it all by telling you the ending. So, spoiler alert, Christ has the victory. We know it. If we were with Jeff in America, we'd do amen, wouldn't we? Christ has the victory.
Oh,
brilliant. We don't always have fun. Great. Two little stories, personal stories. Bear with me. They're quite powerful stories, but have you ever thought something's happened and you think, well, that's only really happened, so I can share it? So once you're in that mindset, you kind of have to share it. So that's what I'll do. I'll put the illustration up first, yes. So this is a country lane. This is my result from Google, just Googling country lane with a bend in it. So it's not the country lane, okay. But about 7 years ago, I was in need of walking therapy, so releasing happy endorphins, etc., exercise. And slightly long story, but I got dropped off in a country lane, which looked spookily very much like this. Okay, about a mile and a half outside of Biddeford. Okay, I'll come back to that. If we rewind 35 years prior, and I wasn't a Christian, I was about a year away, I guess, from being a Christian. I was at college. And we'd come back, I was with a chum, a very good mate, and we'd come back on this particular lane I'm talking about. Making sure I haven't left anything out. So we're driving back, it was dark, and without going right round the Reeking, just on this corner, just prior to this corner in question, something really weird happened. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'll become too preoccupied with that. But suffice to say, it was a bit odd. And we both experienced it and continued. And as you do, probably over the next week or month, I don't know, in conversation, without making a great deal about it, this would come up for both of us. And it was surprising. We got, if you excuse an expression, a lot of old wives' tales, a lot of, funnily enough kind of stories to do with this area. I became a Christian and never really thought any more about it. Like we've looked at already, Christ has a victory. It didn't preoccupy me. And for 35 years, I can say I've never thought of it again, but it was in my psyche. I remembered it. So we're back to 7 years ago. I needed the therapy walk, and I, perchance, got a lift with somebody. I said, quite impromptu, that's good, I'll come with you. I'll get out, and about a mile back from Biddeford, I can walk back. It's a lovely sunny afternoon. And that happened. I didn't think any more about it. I don't think I'd been on this little stretch of road in all that time, quite remote. Gone out of the car, they drove away, and instantly I thought, so you know what's coming. I've got to walk back through this corner, through this little area. And the world would say, I spooked myself. And possibly I did. It doesn't matter for the reason for this story. It doesn't really matter. But I don't think so. I got close to the corner. And by now I'm walking really quite quickly, and without going right around the Reeking, the trees were very windy, and there was a lot of crow noises, and I was just uncomfortable, really uncomfortable, so much so I thought, right, I'm walking quite quickly, I'm going to cross over, to even get 5-6 feet further away from the verge from the side, so I crossed over. And still felt very uncomfortable. And I can share with you, I just said out aloud, I'm ashamed to say it took me that long, a Bible verse. I know I said John 3, verse 16. I know I said the words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever so believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I wasn't going to say that. A good job I remembered it. And I said it out loud, and I just felt instantly I was fine. I was peaceful, no problems at all, and it was a wonderful feeling. So much so, crossed back to where all the sound was, which was just a muffled old din, okay? And chest out, walked quite happily, slowed down to almost walking backwards, carried on, absolutely fine. And I kept saying that verse all the way home, which is really nice. Now, here's the extra bit. Got to the corner, right on the corner. Bearing in mind I'm a bit deaf and the hedgerows are really high. A boy racer in a Subaru Impreza was doing about 110, I think. And he shaved the nettles on the corner all the way round. So I've got no doubt at all if I just stayed over that side. What would have happened? Absolutely no question at all. Another quick story. We have just got time. So I'd label that spirit of a shield of faith. I think that fits in with what we're looking at, shield of faith. This one could be sword of the Spirit, which in my concordance said the Word, so the Word of God. About 10 years ago, I do maintenance work. I've often worked for these retired ladies. Two ladies had been in the mission field their whole life. I knew them from Westward Ho Church, lovely ladies. I used to love working for them. They'd always have a little list for me. Sadly, they wanted to move out of Biddeford, funnily enough, into the Sticks. And they said, well, obviously we'll pay you. Can you come with us? We've seen this little bungalow, and we've only seen it at high speed. The estate agent had messed up his diary, and they'd only whizzed them round, so much so he'd left them the key. They didn't drive. They said, you take us out there. We've got the key. We can look round. There's no property chain. It's empty. So we're really quite keen. Okay. So I said, oh, of course, yeah, lovely. I love being with them. I love helping them, working for them. So we get to the bungalow, and they got the key, and it was obvious that it had kind of just been cleared. There's a few bin bags outside. They'd left some stuff. There was even a front doormat, essentially empty. And I remember thinking, right, I mustn't be flowery. I must be on it and professional and say what it is, whether it's a £5 job or a £500 job. Don't be flowery. We went in and went in behind them. And I just said out aloud, what a lovely feeling in this bungalow. And we're walking down the hall, and these are very, very Bible-based, grounded, lovely, spiritual ladies. And they said, oh, yes, we know this place has been covered in prayer. I remember exactly what they said, which is such a lovely thing. And it was a lovely, lovely feel, lovely atmosphere. So we're going round, looked at a few sticky doors and things. And Annette I've said the name now, they'd be pleased that part of their life is an illustration. Annette goes, oh, there's a door down the end. We haven't even been in this room. Let's have a look, see if there's any problem wallpaper, see what's going on. So they lead me into this room, which was pretty empty, but on the wall was one of these. Not this exact one, not this verse. We know them, old tapestries, going back years, embroidery with a Bible verse. And then that goes to Jan, said, well, there you go, look, we knew it. And then Jen said something like, yes, well, we knew that, didn't we? Which I thought was a lovely testament that the house had been covered in prayer. We don't know what had gone on, the gent that had died, but I thought that was certainly sword of the Spirit, the Word. Okay. Let's move into a time of prayers of intercession. We've a lot to be thankful for and to bring before the Lord before we hand over to Hoppy. And we'll have a little moment during this of quiet where we can bring our own concerns to the Lord. Shall we pray? So, dear Lord, thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you that we can bring to you our praise and the desires of our heart and our worries and our concerns. We ask for your powerful hand will turn the whole situation in Ukraine. We're thinking this morning how you've freely given us the gift of your armour. We pray that those in authority everywhere might clothe themselves in your word. Please be with our new Prime Minister. There's so much confusion and we don't understand, but you know all about every situation. And again, we ask that souls who know you might be in the thick of things, that your will might be done. Thank you for your guidance. At our recent church meeting, we ask that you'll bless events and the business and the outreach that was discussed. And we just now, in the quiet, we bring before you other concerns and other folk, situations of dear folk just known individually to us, that you know all about. Lord, we pray for Christians holding light parties tomorrow. Strengthen them. May they be powerful and attractive. And just please protect those that are harmlessly thinking but absorbing themselves in Halloween tomorrow. Lord, we feel that light things are a battle sometimes, but you've told us all about your armour. Help us be strong in your word and in your strength. And please bless Dave as he ministers your word to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. So as we hand over to Hoppy, let's sing For This Purpose. Words will be on the screen. So Basha, singing it twice through, and I think we've got enough. We can try the men in the chorus sing the first part, and the women the refrain. So ladies, that's your chance. And I think these words, powers of darkness must flee, for Christ has the victory for this purpose. Thank you, Pat.
Just listening to Nick's stories there, it really set me thinking. And I suppose if we wanted to sum up some of the things we're thinking about this morning, it's summed up in a great little verse. I think it's from the beginning of the Gospel of John. It says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it." If you ever think about the smallest light, go into a dark room with a tiny little torch, and you switch your torch on, right? The darkness can't put the torch out. You haven't got any batteries, it won't work. But if you can switch a light on, if you can turn the tiniest little tea light or anything like that, it is going to shine in the darkness. And I think that's the thing that I love to hold on to here. With all that, you know, I was thinking when Nick was saying about, you know, that house that had been prayed in. I don't know if you ever think about walking around your house and saying a little prayer in all the rooms, saying, God bless this room. And everyone who comes in it. Any little prayer like that, we've done that sometimes in our house. And it's just a lovely thing to do, to bless where you live. As you know, Nick went in there and he just immediately felt that there was something really lovely about their house. And we can do that, can't we? So, I'm just going to have a little look at some of the passage here in some different ways. I've highlighted the little bits I wanted to draw out, really. That, you know, I don't know how you see this life, but we don't have to look very far to find it's quite difficult, isn't it? Sometimes we want to eat too much, don't we? Has anyone in this room ever wanted to eat too much? I'll say, well done. There we go. Even little people maybe want to eat too much. you know, and then you do, and then you feel a bit ill sometimes, or even worse, you might be sick, you know. But that in a way, that's a silly thing, but it's not. It's all part, like, we want to do things that aren't good for us, don't we? And in the worst case scenario, people invade countries when they shouldn't. So from eating too much to invading countries, you know, there's what we might call a battle going on in life, you know. And we want to do the right things, and that's where Jesus can help us. He can help us to do the right things. And that's really what this is about. So in this letter that Paul wrote, he lists these things. A belt of truth. Anyone wearing a belt today? Yes, got some belts in the room. Great, okay. I'm going to say, anyone wearing a breastplate? Well, we won't go too far with that. But anyway, we've all probably got shoes on. Okay, so Paul says about, in some versions it says, the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. There's this lovely old verse, I think it's in Isaiah, and it says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. In other words, when you and I come bringing good news, uplifting news, or just being helpful, walking around in peace, wanting to bring peace rather than conflict, God loves that. God loves that. The shoes of the gospel of peace. Shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. Got many hats here today, have we never got any hats? And the sword of the Spirit, which of course is, here it is, and it's on my phone. I don't know if anyone else has got a Bible on your phone. But again, brilliant example. Nick just spoke out, didn't he? Just said John 3:16. And it lifted the fear that he felt. And that's why I'm not very good at learning loads of Bible verses. I know a few that I love. But it's always worth just learn one verse about how Jesus is Lord, or Jesus can help you, or God is always with you. Just learn a verse like that, and then whenever you're frightened, you can say that. And as it helped Nick, it can help you. So, I highlighted these bits because I wanted to tell you how shocking they were to the people in Paul's day. We don't tend to think about this, right? But Paul lived amongst a bunch of people who were called the Israelites, okay, or the Hebrews. They didn't have an army. They wouldn't fight, okay? The people who did fight were called Roman soldiers. Anyone heard of a Roman soldier? Well done. See that little hand there? Brilliant. Well, there's a Roman soldier there. He's called Maximus. He's got a big name, Maximus. And I took that photo because he's fighting and he's got his armour. I mean, I didn't take the photo. I pinched the photo. But we have to remember something here. When Paul wrote all these things, let's just go back a minute, and he talked about belt of truth, breastplate, shields and helmets and swords, people thought, Paul's writing about Roman soldiers, and we don't like Roman soldiers because they're not very nice. They hurt us sometimes, or they arrest us, they put us in prison. The Romans were not very nice to people. So they're going, well, what's going on here? We've got this Roman soldier, and we're normally frightened of him, and Paul's saying something else. And what Paul was doing, I think, was this. He was taking something they saw every day. Now, my guess is, we haven't lately seen a Roman soldier in the street. Anyone seen a Roman soldier in a TV program or a film or anything like that? Maybe, yeah? Or any soldier. Thankfully, we don't live in a country where there's lots of soldiers walking around all the time. Sometimes there are, when significant things happen. I remember when we were in Linton, I lived in Linton, and the Olympic flame came around. Some people might remember that. There was quite a lot of armed patrol people on the street, just to make sure it was all safe and nothing got out of hand, because there was a big crowd. But usually we don't, right? And so here, Paul is saying, when next time you see a scary soldier who you normally are frightened of, I want you to think about God. And I want you to think about the things of God that help you in this world to live a life that is full of God's light. Okay? I'm thinking maybe it's God trying to get through. How are we doing? Don't worry at all. Okay. So, I wanted to show you a little video. And this video features an actor called Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's got a body that's a bit like mine. I hope you'll enjoy it. It's, I wanted to show you how odd it is what Paul does. Because if this, I think you'll watch it and you'll think, it doesn't look very spiritual. Well, neither did it sound very spiritual when Paul was writing about Roman soldiers and talking about God at the same time. So I'll show you this little bit and then say a bit more. I always find it particularly thought-provoking to see Arnie with all his guns and his ammunition in the clips, and it says, you know, about the sword of the Spirit. That's what it would have seemed like when Paul said, when next time you see a sword, we've got a sword, and it's called the Word of God. And people would have gone, but we've seen those swords doing terrible things to people. And Paul goes, yes, but this is a different sword. And next time you see a dangerous sword, think of the sword which brings light in the darkness, which brings hope in the despair, which is greater than a sword that you fight with. This is a sword of peace. Remember that. And so Paul is making, I think, this kind of quite strange connections because, what have I got here? Have I got the, there we go. That's what I was just talking about. Now, Paul takes a violent image from their everyday lives and he flips it round so that when they next see a Roman soldier, they will think of God and what is important. So he's basically saying, next time you see this frightening image, don't be frightened. Think of God and all he can do in your life and through you to other people. It reminds me, I hope I can remember this story correctly. This is true. There's a town in Germany where they hold a fascist rally. I don't know if it's every year, maybe. And the local people hate it. Of course, they don't like it because the fascists are nasty people who don't like some people. So what the locals decided to do is they sponsor the fascists who don't know it so that for every footstep they take, they will give money to charities that are helping other people. So here come the fascists who are frightening and scary and not nice. And every time they walk through the village, they don't realise it, but they're raising money to help other people. Now, that's a bit like what Paul's doing. He's flipping round something that's frightening, and they're saying, we're going to use it for something that's actually going to make this world better. I love that story. I wish I'd looked it up before I came, because I could tell you more about it. This is from a Bible that's called The Message. And in The Message, it doesn't so much talk about armour. It lists the things that are important. So we've got truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation, God's word, and prayer. Those are what at the heart of these things, okay? Getting these things into our lives, truth, righteousness, or justice as well as part of righteousness. Living in peace, having faith when you listen to the news. Boy, the news can be depressing at the moment. And I think there's ever a moment when we need faith that God is bigger when you hear the news. If you get frightened when you hear the news, turn it on its head and say, Lord, you're bigger. Please, will you help us? There's one thing about the times we live in. It's showing us we can't do it on our own, isn't it? We're weak, aren't we, really? We've messed up, really. We've tried lots of things to make this country, this world better, but it keeps going wrong. We need God's help. So that's a moment of faith, really. And salvation is ongoing. We're going to say a bit more about that in a minute, okay? But before that, I wonder, like Paul with his Roman soldiers, just want to come at this from a different angle. What everyday things can you have in your life that you see every day that you can link up with the things of God? Now, this may sound weird, but I just want to tell you, a Roman soldier's belt has nothing to do with truth until Paul makes that connection. That's it. A breastplate, which was armour here, has nothing to do with righteousness until Paul goes, next time you see it, put on righteousness. So Paul makes the connections in a surprising way. So, you know, I sometimes joke that if you love cars, you can have the 4x4 of faith. Toast is very comforting, the toaster of peace. It's having these things around your life that will make you think of the things of God as well. And you keep bumping into them. You keep bumping into them. So I can't tell you what will work for you. I can only show you what works for me. So, for example, I work in a cinema and I love film. So films often speak to me about the things of God, about how this world isn't right and about how God can help us in the world. Happens all the time with films and me. Or not Christian films, just films. Pop music, I've loved that all my life. I listen to the words and that makes me think, is that right? Is that not right? What is right? So pop music has always reminded me of the things of God. Books, my family, that's my family there. And I got that picture on the end there of this little cross I carry around with me. I've got this tiny little cross. It was made for me by a friend. I think it's from cherry wood, from a cherry tree. And it's really higgledy-piggledy, which is one of the reasons I love it. And I don't know if you can see, but on it, it's got a little sticker and tiny names, tiny, tiny names written in tiny, tiny letters from my computer of all the people I've promised to pray for. And I'm not very good at praying, so I carry this round with me. And it reminds me that wherever I go, God is with me. And whenever I take hold of it, like now, I'm taking a moment to bring all these people on it into the presence of God with me as a little prayer. So this is really helpful to me, this little cross. And there's my Bible, because I do like my Bible, although I admit it's not easy to read the Bible and understand it. You need a bit of help. But I wonder what everyday things, and they don't have to feel spiritual, because Jesus did use stuff that wasn't spiritual, didn't he? He used money, he talked about sheep, he talked about widows, he talked about judges, he talked about stuff that didn't seem spiritual, and he scooped it all up and told stories about it and helped people think about God through the ordinary things. You see, people regularly lost coins. I don't know what you lose in your life. Anyone like to tell me something they lose? What about little people? Do you lose anything? Game, little toys? You lost anything lately? Have a think. Don't have to say it out loud. Have a think of things you lose. I lose things like my glasses, the television control. We lose that all the time. My wife lost her car keys the other day. Fortunately, they're in the bottom of a bag. We're always losing things, aren't we? So Jesus tells a story about someone who loses something like that and hunts all around everywhere until they find it. And then he says, that's what God is like. He will never give up looking for you and looking for me. He will keep on searching us out to draw us closer and closer. And it doesn't matter if we don't feel very good as people. It doesn't matter if we make mistakes. God will keep on looking for us because he loves us. So next time you lose something, remember that Jesus is always looking for you and I. That's the point. Next time you lose something. See, so you see, Jesus takes ordinary things. So I don't know what things you have in your life, but maybe it's worth thinking of one or two that you can even just put a little sign on it to remind you of God with you and what's important. So this is the picture that Nick drew, and he helpfully gave me the list again. So we've got the truth. Thinking about truth, we live in an age where people make things up and say they're true, don't they? On the internet all the time. They're always making things up and then saying it's true. Well, this will help us find out what's truth. Because there is absolute truth. We live in an age where people say there isn't, but there is. And that can help us. Salvation, I'm going to think about that in a minute, but it's not just a one-time thing. We constantly need being rescued by God each day. Then, as I said about the peace, the shoes of peace. And then you've got the shield of faith. We haven't got a shield there, but that's where it would be, on the arm. And then righteousness, which is this the breastplate, the soldier's breastplate. And then the word, which is the spear or the sword, which is like a weapon. And Nick showed us how he used it when he was walking on that road, and he spoke it out. He spoke it out, and it was literally him using it as a kind of weapon to bring light into the darkness. So very quickly, other bits of the Bible which talk about them. Jesus said he was the truth, right? And one of the things I love about that is it means we can be honest about our lives. We don't have to pretend that we're more spiritual than we are, that we're better than we are. Jesus just says, you can be yourself with me. And he helps us to know what that means. Salvation, in Corinthians it says, we who are being saved. We're being saved each day. Okay, it's an ongoing rescuing. And I know there are moments when I say, God, save me again, because I've got into a right old mess here. Peace. I've just mentioned there that Colossians 1, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. You know, so much that happens in this world when people hurt each other, because they say horrible things about each other. I think it comes because they're hurt inside. And they think that the best way to fix that is to hurt other people. That is what happens with bullies at times, really. They're being hurt, and so they want to hurt other people. The gift from Jesus is this peace. So that it calms us so that we can treat other people differently and bring peace into other people's lives. And faith, and there it is now, a couple of bits from Hebrews. It's the assurance that what we don't see it, but we hold on to the hope that what we believe is going to happen. And we fix our eyes on Jesus because he will help us to have faith. And then righteousness there. I love that bit from Amos at the bottom. That great quote, let justice roll down like a river. And righteousness like a never-failing stream. And that's where we can support organisations that are working for justice or be involved ourselves. And the word of God is sharper than any sword, but in a good way. In a good way. Now, I think rather than show you this clip, I'll tell you this story. And then I'm going to do a mime to finish. So this is a true story. And they made a film of it called Hacksaw Ridge. And Hacksaw Ridge was a battle that happened in the Second World War. Okay, and there was this guy here, the character's called Desmond Doss. And he wanted to go and help fight in the American army, but he didn't believe in killing. So he wanted to go and be a medic and help people when they got wounded. But the army said to him, you've got to carry a gun. And he said, I refuse, I won't carry a gun. So, oh gosh, it was complicated, but he had lots of battles with them. And the other soldiers in his company, they didn't like him. They called him names because he wouldn't carry a gun. You know, they really were down on him. They were hard on him. And it was very difficult. But he stuck to his guns, and he said, I won't stuck to his guns. Rather stuck without his guns. And said, no, I just want to carry my little medical pack, you know, the little first aid kit or whatever. Anyway, so it comes to the battle. And what happens is all the men in the company, they climb up the ridge, because it's a big cliff, and they go over the top, and they start running into battle, and it's a trap. And the enemy, they're waiting for them. And they start shooting at them and blowing them up. And instantly, pretty much all of the company are either dead or wounded up there. Now, Desmond arrives after them when he hears what's going on. He climbs up and he goes up, which is when he is here. And he stops at the top. And the reason that Desmond didn't want to carry a gun was he was a Christian. So at the cliff edge, all he can see is smoke and fire. Excuse me. And so he says a prayer. And he says, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. What should I do? What should I do? And he listens, and he doesn't hear anything. And he says, God, I can't hear you. I need to know what to do to help people. And what he hears is the cry of a wounded soldier. He hears in the darkness, he's kind of, ah! And then he just thinks, right, that's a message from God. I'm going into the battle. So he goes in, and he carries one at a time more than 50 men back out of the battle on his shoulder. And he lowers them down this ridge till his hands are really battered, really in a very bad way. But he keeps going. And the true story is that he saved more than 50 men from his company by doing that. And these were the men who had been nasty to him beforehand. And they weren't again afterwards. But this is the bit I really want to tell you about. Every time he goes to get another man, he prays a prayer. And the prayer is this, he says, one more, help me to save. One more. I find that moving. I find that really moving. So he is praying like mad. You can see it if you watch the film Hacksaw Ridge. Lord, help me to save one more. And so what he does is this. He prays like mad and he works like mad. And that's a really old saying. Pray as though everything depended on God and work as though everything depended on you. And I think that's what Paul is talking about when he says pray at all times. Pray in the Spirit. But it doesn't mean we don't do anything. We put on the armour and we go into this battle and we do what we can. And it's different for all of us. We all do different things. And we pray. And there's no difference. It's not like saying, shall I pray or shall I do it? It's both. We do what Desmond does. Lord, help me to save one more. And then he goes into battle and he saves that person and he brings them back. And it's an amazing story. It's an amazing film. It's quite a brutal film. That's why I thought it was probably not best to show the clip this morning. But if you don't mind war films, it's an amazing story and it's true. So, that said, I want to do a little bit of drama for you, a bit of mime, which I've got for you this morning. I love this little quote. Don't know how you feel at the moment, whether you feel powerful or small. I'm so small, said the mole. Yes, said the boy, but you make a huge difference. That's you and I. That's you and I. So, I don't know if you've seen much mime. I've done some here before, so some of you will have seen me doing some. But this is some mime, which is based on an Old Testament story, where a guy called Ezekiel finds himself in a valley, and it's full of dead bones. Dead bones. We see quite a lot of pictures of bones at the moment, don't we, with Halloween around. Well, here's the big valley, and it's full of bones. You'll hear the story being told over the speakers, and I'm going to act it out just down there. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you understand it, but don't worry if you don't. And hope it helps you in a little bit of a way. I think what I'll do is I'll say a prayer now, because I'll be a bit out of breath after the mime. We'll do the mime, and then we'll do the final hymn. Okay, so I'll just say a prayer. Lord, help each one of us to know what it means to put on your armour today and tomorrow. And remind us, Lord, that we can always say a prayer. We can always talk to you, however difficult the situation seems. You are bigger. And your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. So show us, Lord, what that means each day this week, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord took hold of me and set me down in a place full of people. They covered the streets, countless numbers of them, and they were very dry, dusty, and lifeless. And a voice from heaven said, "Can these people come to life again?" And the people shrugged and sighed. They raised their lifeless heads and stared. They went about their business, lived their lives, and made the best of things. They worked, they talked, they laughed, and cried, and every day was the same, again, and again, and again. They worked, they talked, they laughed, and cried. They worked, they talked, they laughed, and cried. They worked, they talked, they laughed, and cried. They worked. They talked, they laughed, and cried. They worked, 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 they talked, they laughed, and cried. They put on brave faces and kept their doubts and their fears locked behind closed doors. Inside, they hoped for something more, but they looked in all the wrong places, until their clockwork lives finally wound down and their grey existence crumbled to dust. Then the Spirit of the Lord took hold of me and set me down in a valley full of bones. They covered the ground, countless numbers of them, and they were very dry,
dusty and lifeless. And a voice from heaven said, "Can these bones come to life again?" And I shrugged and sighed and said, "Only you can answer that." And the voice from heaven went on, "Look, look, look at these bones. Look at these lifeless bodies. Speak to them, and I promise you, they will live. I will blow the dust from their lives and give them new sinew and muscle, flesh and skin, and they will breathe again. I will put my breath within them, and they will know I have done it." So I spoke, and before I had finished, I heard a rattling sound, and the dry bones cracked and shuddered, and the dust flew as the lifeless limbs reformed and crept back together. And as I watched, sinew and muscle appeared on the bodies, and flesh formed upon them. And there before me stood an army of people. I waited and I listened, but not one was breathing. And the voice from heaven said, "Prophesy to the wind, summon it from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. Tell it to breathe life into these dead bodies and revive them." So I spoke, and I felt a breeze brush my face. And as I beckoned to the wind, it stormed through the valley, from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. And it thundered around the bodies, buffeting the flesh and pummeling the limbs. And the lifeless people spluttered and coughed and took deep breaths. And before my eyes, they began to live again. "See," said the Lord, "see what I can do. I have done this as I promised, and I will do it again. I will breathe on all those who are dead and dry, all those with no future or hope, and I will put the life of my spirit within them, and they will live again. I will do it," says the Lord. "I promise it will happen, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. I, the Lord, have spoken. Again I say it, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord."
Just before that last song, I just want to say, I think as well, the message of the Bible is that we need God's Spirit in everything we do, really. All the ordinary, normal things. And that's what that's about, really. It's without vision, the Bible says, people perish. But when we have our eyes set on God, it can give us hope in all the ordinary, everyday things that we do. So, we're going to finish by singing, "Be Thou My Vision." So that worked quite well, didn't it? I thought of that then. "Be thou my vision. Without vision we perish, but with God as our vision, then we can keep going."
Thank you.
a prayer as we close. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, Lord, be my vision, be our vision. You are Lord of all. And Lord, help us to get glimpses of that in this coming week. And bless us now. Bless our conversation. Bless the stories that we tell one another. Here and now in this service, and then as we go from here, Lord. Because we do this in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.